What's up, everybody?
Welcome to another episode of MIAA Weekly. I am your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAAweekly. Another great week of hoops in the MIAA to talk about this week. A couple of the topics we're going to discuss. There might be one team emerging who is keeping this from being a two-horse race in the league this year. Who is the most improved team so far this year over last year? And a traditional MIAA powerhouse that right now is scrambling to find some answers on the hardwood. Later on, we'll have a couple of questions from the mailbag this week. I always appreciate hearing from you guys, the listeners, on that. And we will have our first ever MIAA basketball power rankings in the second segment as well as our usual big man on campus and road warrior of the week awards for last week in the MIAA. But we'll start by kind of going through the notes that I wrote down while I was watching games last week, particularly on Wednesday. On Saturday, I wasn't able to sit down and watch games because Saturday was my daughter's birthday party. And so we were actually out at a gymnastics place doing some tumbling and climbing around on some obstacle course stuff and playing with some kids. So Saturday I was not around basketball, but on Wednesday night I plopped myself in front of a TV and I used my phone and my computer and I kind of had my own personal MIAA whip around type of thing going on where I was watching more than one game at a time. I think at one point in time I was watching trying to watch four games at a time on Wednesday. So a couple of things that I wrote down that were noteworthy about the games on Wednesday night. Emporia State really showed me something against Northwest. Now, I'll preface this by saying that I think that it's kind of a cliche, but it's true that Northwest Missouri State, being the defending national champion and being kind of the bully on the block in the MIAA, they're going to get everyone's best shot. So it's not really all that surprising that they got everything that Emporia State could throw at them. But I was very impressed by the Hornets, particularly in the early part of that game in the first half, keeping that as close as it was. Obviously, in the second half, Trevor Hudgens and Diego Bernard just kind of proved to be a little bit too much for Emporia State to handle, and they ended up running away a little bit. And the score was not really – it was a 13-point spread a 15-point spread, which is not a blowout by any means, but it's not really indicative of how well the Hornets played, particularly in the first half. Jamari Turner played very well, 22 points in that game. Brendan Van Dyke had 14 points as well. Dallas Bailey had a big week, actually, defensively with, I think he averaged 11 rebounds a game last week for Emporia State in a week when they went 1-1. But I think that Craig Doty really does have that thing in Emporia going in the right direction. It's not as flashy at times. I know we spent a lot of time last week talking about Missouri Western and the fact that Sundance Wicks has got that team in a lot better place now than they were a year ago. So it's not quite as flashy, but Emporia State is a very competitive basketball team. And as I record this, I just watched them struggle quite a bit against Fort Hays State in a game that Fort Hays State ended up winning by 10 points. A game where Emporia State had almost as many turnovers as they had field goals. They really struggled shooting from the field in this game, and that's just one of those things that sort of happens over the course of a season. But for the most part, defensively, Emporia State looks really improved. As a matter of fact, I actually pulled it up because I was curious. You can see in the MIAA statistics that right now on field goal percentage, Emporia State is actually ranked number 2 in the conference. But then if you go and look at the national rankings, Emporia State's actually ranked in the top 30 in the country in opponent field goal percentage. And that actually went up with their game against Fort Hays State on Wednesday night, because that game was not by any means an offensive display really by either team. But even Fort Hays State, who came out on the winning side, only shot 34% from the floor. So Emporia State's ranking or their numbers in that particular category are going to look better today than they did as of recording this. But as of recording this right now, Emporia State sits at number 27 in the country. Like I said, top 30 in the country in field goal percentage defense. We've talked about the fact that they've got some guys that can carry a team offensively, not against a school like Northwest Missouri State, but Jamari Turner, Brendan Van Dyke, Keon Thomas is going to be in the running for freshman of the year. Duncan Ford has looked good in a couple of games this year. They've got the talent offensively to put something together and be a dangerous team. I do think that Emporia State is going to end up in Kansas City, and I do think that they're going to be a dangerous team in Kansas City because of the fact that they play good defense, and like I said, they have a couple of guys that can kind of get hot and carry them through a tournament. So that was kind of the first thing that jumped out to me. That was the first thing that I'd written down. I was in the first half, in particular against Northwest, and for most of that game, I was really impressed with the way that Emporia State was able to grind out with the Bearcats. The next thing that I wrote down has to do with the Washburn Ichabods. Washburn fell down early to Missouri Western last week at home. Then the score was like 16-10. Washburn got a timeout, and they came out of that timeout with their two best players, Tyler Guyman and Jalen Lewis. That's their two top scorers on the bench. And with their two best players on the bench, Washburn went on an 11-2 run. And I think that they only lost the lead once more the rest of the game. All told, the Ichabods ended up scoring 46 points in the first half of that game. And like I said, they had their starters on the bench for a good chunk of that time. Again, Tyler Guyman didn't have his best game. He finished with 14.7 assists, but he had 5 turnovers, which is not characteristic for him, and he was only 3 of 13 from the floor. Jalen Lewis, who is the second leading scorer on the team, finished with 10 points, only had 5 shots on the day. So they were not really in rhythm, but they, with them off of the floor for a decent amount of time, Drew Mashoff, and I'm sorry if I'm saying his name wrong, Drew Mashoff finished with a game-high 23 points, and he really kind of led the charge for the Ichabods against Missouri Western. Now, fast forward after that, and the next opponent that they faced on the weekend was Northwest Missouri State. And we've talked about Northwest Missouri State, and we've talked about the fact that everybody is going to give Northwest their best shot. Northwest is going to get that from everybody they face this year. That's just the nature of the beast when you are the defending national champions. But when you look at the box score and you look at the play-by-play and you really delve in to the way the game between Northwest Missouri State and Washburn went, the Ichabods played with Northwest for 40 minutes. The largest lead that Northwest Missouri State had the entire game was just 11 points. And the final score ended up being 73-68. Now, a couple of things. One, this was a situation where Northwest, again, is playing without one of their starters, Ryan Welty. And so the thing that we've talked about with the Bearcats kind of came into play. Their lack of depth showed up a little bit. They only played six players. But Washburn shot 56% from the floor against what is probably the best defense in the MIAA. And if it weren't for a little better shooting at the free throw line, we might be having a different conversation entirely about the standings in the MIAA and about this game in particular. Combine that with the fact that Washburn, in addition to playing Northwest within 5 points last week, played Missouri Southern, who right now is sitting atop the MIAA standings by themselves at 6-0. They played the Lions in Joplin on December 7th in the second conference game of the year for the Lions. And that game in Joplin ended up, obviously, with a Southern win, but the final score was 90-83. So Washburn has played the two best teams in the conference already this year and lost those games by a combined 12 points. Those are the only two losses that Washburn has so far in the conference. I think that what we've seen out of the Ichabods, after kind of a slow start in non-conference, they were not, I think it was 5-4, if memory serves, in non-conference play, which doesn't inspire a ton of confidence. But with what we've seen so far during the conference season out of the Ichabods, tight win against Emporia State, solid win against Missouri Western, playing the two best teams in the MIAA, Missouri Southern and Northwest Missouri State, very close. I think that Washburn is the MIAA's best hope at knocking off either Missouri Southern or Northwest Missouri State in both the conference standings and quite possibly in a tournament setting as well. Washburn has officially become one of those teams that I'm going to be watching a lot more closely as the season goes on. And I'll say this. On Thursday, January 16th, I'm not sure when you're all listening to this, Washburn travels up to Kearney, Nebraska to take on Nebraska Kearney. That is going to be a really, really big game that I will probably try to watch every minute of if I can. Because right now, Nebraska Kearney is sitting at 4-2 in the MIAA, and I believe they are sitting in third place in the conference standings behind Southern and Northwest. But Kearney has looked a lot better. They're another one of these teams that's very much improved over a year ago. This is going to be a really, really good measuring stick for the Lopers to see what kind of a basketball team they have. Obviously, they've got a couple of guys that can score, Morgan Susie, AJ Jackson, Jake Cool, like they've got some scorers on that team. Very quietly, Kenny Lofton has got something going up there in Nebraska. This is going to be a really, really fun game to watch, I think. And it's going to be a really important game for both Washburn and UNK. Because again, Washburn, so far this year, looks like they might be the only team that can really make a run at the two top dogs in the MIAA. You're listening to MIAA Weekly. I'm your host, Jesse Cordova. Email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com and make sure you follow the show on Twitter at MIAAweekly. The last thing that I had written down in my notes to talk about is unfortunately not a positive. And this is not something I wrote down on Wednesday while I was watching the games. This is something that came to mind after the fact, when I was reading, getting caught up on what happened on Saturday, and then actually as I was watching games here tonight, this past Wednesday the 15th. It wasn't that long ago that Central Missouri was a perennial powerhouse in this conference in basketball. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that Central Missouri won a national championship out of this conference. Right now, Central Missouri is on a four-game losing streak. They are 1-5 in the MIAA and 6-9 overall. On Saturday, this past Saturday, they lost a shootout to Lincoln, 88-84. So you'd think, just based off of that, that this season, Central Missouri wants to play a lower scoring, slower paced, defensive kind of game. On Wednesday night, Central Missouri shot 28% from the floor and lost 68-57 to Pittsburgh State at home. Their other losses include a 26-point loss on the road against Central Oklahoma, a team that finished last in the MIAA last year, while admittedly is a much improved team this year, but a team that finished last in the MIAA last year. And Newman, for what is Newman's only win so far in the conference since joining the MIAA. Central Missouri started the year by losing 3 of their first 4 in non-conference against teams out of the NSIC and GLVC. And right now, the Mules are looking for answers. One bright spot for Central Missouri is that right now they rank number 4 in the MIAA in scoring defense. So hopefully they can build on that and see if they can translate some of these good defensive performances into some wins. That's going to wrap it up for segment 1. In segment 2, we will dig into the mailbag. We had a couple of submissions this week to get to, a couple of good questions from a couple of listeners. Plus, we will do our first ever MIAA basketball power rankings, and hopefully that sparks some debate. I'd love to hear back from you all and see what you think and how you have the teams ranked 1 through 14 as of right now. And as always, we will unveil our Big Man on Campus and Road Warrior of the Week. That is all coming up after about a 60-second break. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. Welcome back, everybody, to MIAA Weekly. This is segment 2 of this week's episode. We will dig into the mailbag first, followed by our first ever MIAA basketball power rankings, and then we will hand out our Big Man on Campus award and our Road Warrior of the Week, and then I will let you get on with your day. So without wasting any more time, let's get right into the mailbag. Our first message comes from John. He writes in, if you had to rank the top 5 men's basketball coaches in the MIAA right now, what would be your order? John, first of all, thank you for listening. Thank you for writing in. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. That is a really tough question. I think that pretty much everybody at this point in time agrees that number 1 in this league is Ben McCollum. I don't know that that's really in dispute. I think that everyone expects that at any time we're going to read a release saying that Ben McCollum has gotten the call up and he is going to be coaching a Division I program at some point in the very near future. Beyond Ben McCollum, there are a lot of really good coaches in this league. There are coaches that have won national championships at different levels. There are coaches that have been assistants on high-level Division I staffs. There are coaches that have had Division I stints for long periods of time. And there are coaches that have kind of come up within the program they're in right now and sort of built where they are. This sounds like a political answer almost, but I really think that there are not really any bad coaches in the MIAA. I think that all of the coaches in this league are really good, and that's one of the reasons why this league is so tough. But if I had to narrow it down, I think that behind Ben McCollum, the coaches that you've got to mention as far as just their coaching ability, in no particular order, are Craig Doty at Emporia State, who has, again, won a national championship at the NAIA level. Brett Ballard, who spent time as an assistant on the staff or on a staff in the ACC at Wake Forest and has been really good at Washburn. He's led his team to a couple of tournaments in a very short amount of time, and usually Washburn is good for at least 20 wins just about every year. Bob Hoffman at UCO spent 11 years at Belmont at the Division I level, and he had a high level of success at the Division II level for a lot of years before getting that call up to Belmont. And obviously now he's back at UCO, and we've mentioned even a couple of times in today's episode that the Broncos are a very improved team from what they were a year ago. And I think that Coach Hoffman is obviously a huge part of that, and he deserves a lot of credit for even the improvement that we've seen out of Central Oklahoma in just 17 games this year. Kim Anderson is a guy who won a national championship at Central Missouri and is now at Pitt State. And, you know, it's going to take him some time to build that program up to what, obviously, what they want it to be, what he wants it to be. But we've seen he has a track record of being able to build Division II programs, and in particular build a Division II program in the MIAA. So I think that he deserves some recognition for his past accomplishments and how good a coach he is. And then Jeff Boshi at Missouri Southern. He's a guy who was on Coach Robert Corn's staff for a little while and sort of was the coach in waiting unofficially, I think, there. And he's obviously paid dividends for Missouri Southern. He's won, I want to say he's won at least 20 games in every year that he has been the coach at Missouri Southern. He's coached a handful of 1,000-point scorers at Missouri Southern already, and they've made a couple of regionals, including the Sweet 16 last year, and this year they've got bigger goals. And if nothing else, you got to look at the roster at Missouri Southern and say that that man Jeff Boshi can recruit. I'm not sure. That might be a fun poll question. I might go on Twitter later on, and that might be our first poll question of the basketball season. Was Jeff Boshi a better three-point shooter, or is he a better recruiter? That might be something that I actually go onto the poll and ask later on. So those are the guys that that kind of jump out if I had to rank top coaches. I mean, a guy I didn't mention, Mark Johnson, has been at Fort Hays State for a really long time. I believe he's in year 20, if I'm not mistaken. And they've had 9 or 10 20-win seasons. He's made some regionals. He's a very good coach. Sundance Wicks is obviously doing something really cool at Missouri Western. It's really fun to see what's going on in St. Joe with him, but his resume just isn't quite as good as everybody else's that we've talked about. Who am I missing? There's a lot of really good coaches in this league. So that's a really good question, John. And I would welcome you. Anybody who's got an opinion on that, if you think you can rank the top five coaches in this league, please shoot me an email at miaaweekly@gmail.com. I'd love to hear everybody else's answer to that, because I really thought about this for a while, and I had a really hard time actually trying to rank these 5 through 1. I really couldn't do it. The next mailbag submission comes from Alex, and Alex emailed me and said, "Is it me, or is Southern playing a lot better defensively this season? I feel like they usually always score a lot of points, but this year it seems like they're shutting teams down as well." Well, Alex, again, as I always like to say, thank you for listening. Thank you for writing in. That's first and foremost. And the answer to your question is, it's not just you. Southern is playing a lot better defensively than they have. It's really not a secret. The last few years, the Achilles heel for Missouri Southern really has been the fact that they might score 80 points in a game, but on any given night, they might give up 90. And I think that that was a big focus of the Lions going into this last offseason. Listen, I'll admit, and I've said before, I'm a Southern alum. I live pretty close to Joplin. I've spent some time on that campus and around the people in the athletics department. And that includes some of the athletes. And I can tell you that last year, Northwest Missouri State went undefeated and won a national championship. Missouri Southern absolutely thought they were going to win that game in the regional. And they were deeply disappointed because they thought they were built to win a national championship last year. You combine that with the fact that all of those guys come back this year. They have been on a mission, and it hasn't been a secret. They want to do something special that hasn't been done at Missouri Southern before. That's manifesting itself defensively. Right now, Southern is ranked number three in most in the top three, I should say, in most major defensive categories in the MIAA. But on a national level, the Lions are ranked number 25 in the country in scoring defense, and they're in the top 10 in rebounding margin. So, like I said, short answer to your question, Alex, it's not you. The Lions have absolutely been markedly improved on the defensive end. That is it for our mailbag this week. I want to remind everybody, if you've got any questions, any takes that you want to share with myself or the rest of the listeners, always feel free to shoot me an email at miaaweekly@gmail.com. And also you can DM me on Twitter by following me at miaaweekly. And like I said, that wraps it up for our mailbag for this week. And so that gets us to the meat and potatoes of segment two this week, and that is the first ever MIAA basketball power rankings. We are going to start from the bottom. I'll go 14 on up to one, and I'll tell you that the very top of this league was easy to pick. I think most people would agree that 1-2 is, you can argue the order, but the teams everyone seems to probably agree on. I think if you look at the standings, you can tell the bottom three are pretty much not in question. Again, you can debate on the order that those bottom three should be in, but everyone really knows what those bottom three are. But the middle chunk of this league, from number three all the way down to about number 11, the variance that you could go in for what order they should be. Again, I'll open it up. Shoot me a DM on Twitter. Shoot me an email. Even just put it into a regular tweet and at me on Twitter if you want to. Or find me on the message boards on d2football.com. Just tell me what your thoughts are, because I really think that this could kind of be a fun conversation. So starting from the bottom right now, number 14, I think that right now Central Missouri is the worst team in this league. Again, there's something of a bright spot there in that they've been pretty solid defensively, but they've won one game this year, and I think that everyone would agree that it was a very fluky win against Northwest Missouri State, where the Bearcats just shot it horrendously, which is very uncharacteristic for them. And Central Missouri was able to win a low-scoring game against the Bearcats there. But aside from that, they've lost every game in conference that they played. They lost a game in the 80s to Lincoln, who is very, very average this year. They lost a game in the 60s just this week to Pittsburgh State. Central Missouri is just not where they need to be right now. Number 13 is Newman. Again, Newman, their first year in the MIAA, their only win so far in the MIAA was at home against Central Missouri, and really that was the tiebreaker. If Central Missouri beats Newman in that game, then these two teams have flipped spots. Fort Hays State is at number 12. They just picked up their first win of the season over Emporia State in what was a kind of an ugly game for Emporia State, but you have to give credit where credit's due. Fort Hays State was able to force 14 turnovers from the Hornets to kind of keep them out of sync. So Fort Hays State has played some close games. They only have one win in the MIAA, but when you look at their schedule, they've been in a lot of the games that they played this year. I think that they might be on the verge of breaking out, but for right now, they're at number 12. At number 11, I've got Pittsburgh State. They're another team that they're at 11 right now, but in a week or two, I could see them climbing a little bit. They seem like they're starting to put it together a little bit. It was always going to be an adjustment. There was a lot of new faces on that roster. They didn't have the two big scores that they had last year returning, so they were going to have to kind of figure out offensively where it was going to come from. I think the Gorillas are actually starting to play a lot better now. They're starting to mesh. Right now they're number 11, but they're a team that I wouldn't be surprised if they start climbing up the power rankings a little bit as the season goes on. Number 10 right now is the Lincoln Blue Tigers. Lincoln is a team that's really interesting because going into the season, I want to say they were picked number 4 or number 5 in the preseason poll by the media and coaches. And they were a team that even I thought might be a sleeper to be kind of in the regional discussion. They had some good guard play coming back. John Mosley can coach, man. That's another guy. And that mailbag question that I didn't mention before, but he's a really good coach there in Jeff City. But they've just really underachieved this year. They're not really playing to the level that I think most people expected them to play at. In fact, right now, Lincoln is actually below 500 at 6-8, but they are 3-2 in the MIAA. So that's another team that I'm not sure if they'll stay at number 10, but right now they've been a little bit of a disappointment this year. Number 9, UCO. I think that you can make the argument that Central Oklahoma is the most improved team in the MIAA this year. Last year, they were really bad. They had one player who averaged like a 20-10 double-double every night, and yet somehow, with all that production that they could just kind of pencil in, they just didn't win games. This year is very different. They're 7-10 overall, 4-4 in the MIAA, but they just lost on Wednesday to Northeastern State, and that was a two-point game that was really competitive throughout. And Coach Hoffman has got that team playing just a really tough style, and they're a tough out. Like they're the kind of team that I could see in an 8-9 game going into the MIAA tournament. Number 8 right now is Missouri Western. Missouri Western is currently 3-3 in the MIAA and 7-10 overall. They have lost 2 in a row, but we've seen the potential from Missouri Western that they have the talent to be really good. Terrell Carroll is absolutely on track, in my opinion, to be a first-team All-MIAA selection. I think that he's really established himself as being one of those guys week in and week out that is on the scouting report as saying, you can't let number 3 beat you. But I think that Missouri Western is a solid team, and I think that kind of putting them right near the middle of the pack, they're a team that because they're so young, they could crater. You know, it could be a situation where the fatigue sets in as the year goes on and they just kind of run out of gas, or it could be a situation where they gain more experience and more confidence and they kind of surprise some people. I think that I'm putting them right in the middle because of the fact that I like where their potential is, but I'm nervous about their youth. Number 7 right now is Northeastern State. Northeastern State is a team, once again, kind of like Lincoln. Coming into this year, I thought that Northeastern State had the potential to finish as high as 3rd in this league. I still think they have that potential, but they're going to have to put it together more. Kendrick Thompson and Caleb Smith are a really good guard duo. I would say outside of Northwest, they might have arguably the best guard tandem in the MIAA, but the problem with those guys is that they're volume shooters. I've seen some times this year where they've scored, you know, 20 points, but then you look more closely and they scored 20 points on 19 shots. It's not the most efficient as it could be. Mark Downey does have Northeastern State playing pretty well defensively, but I'd like to see a little more efficiency out of their two leading scorers, Kendrick Thompson and Caleb Smith. And number 6, I've got the Rogers State Hillcats. Rogers State, the other newcomer aside from Newman, they're kind of going the other way. Rogers State has looked really good this year so far at times. They had a little bit of a slump there. They lost 3 in a row to Missouri Western, Northwest, and then Nebraska Kearney. But it looks like they've kind of gotten back on track. They had a 10-point win over Fort Hays State last Saturday. And then on Wednesday of this week, they handled Newman by 23 points. So it seems like they've been back on track. They've got a lot of talent. They're very balanced. Jet Sternberger is a kid that's probably going to be in the running for freshman of the year. Marcus Sumner is a very good guard. And the thing that's scary about them is that they're starting to find some consistent post play, and they've got some big bodies that not very many people in the MIAA can match up with. So Rogers State at number six, they're very dangerous right now. Sitting at 13-4 overall, they could be a team not only that climbs in the MIAA standings, but they might find themselves in the regional conversation here in the coming months. Number five, I've got Emporia State. Now, Emporia State is probably the team that I would say, if you told me to look at my list and say which team is most likely to fall in your next power ranking, I would say it's probably Emporia State. Emporia right now is sitting at 3-3 in the MIAA and 9-6 overall. They did just lose on Wednesday night on the road at Fort Hays State. Now, a couple things. One, it's really hard to drive all the way out to Hays, Kansas and play a basketball game. Like, it's well documented that Hays and Kearney road swing is one of the most grueling trips, or is the most grueling trip in this conference. That's number one. Number two, I don't expect a Craig Doty coach team to be as ineffective and inefficient offensively as they were very often. But you look at their schedule, they've got a lot of wins over NAIA teams. They had a 10-point lead in the second half against Washburn and watched it evaporate and lost. Emporia State's a team that is well-coached and has some talent, but until I see them do it consistently, five is about as high as we might see them get this year. The game on Saturday is going to be really big for Emporia State against Nebraska Kearney. Number four, speak of the devil appears, Nebraska Kearney. UNK is very quietly putting together a pretty nice season. Again, they got off to a slow start, but they're 10-5 overall, and they're 4-2 in the MIAA. They played Missouri Southern at home pretty competitively. Southern jumped out to a big lead in the first half, but Nebraska Kearney outplayed Southern in the second half of that game. Final score ended up being 89-77. Since that time, the Lopers have gone on the road and beaten a good Rogers State team and a solid Northeastern State team in overtime. I think that Nebraska Kearney is a team that we didn't really pay a lot of attention to because of the fact that they were very, well, they weren't very good last year at all. But they've got some kids that can score. Morgan Soucy is an absolute threat to score 20 or 25 a night. They've got some supplemental guys like A.J. Jackson, Jake Kuhl, R.J. Pear. There's a lot to like about this Nebraska Kearney team. They're quiet. They're effective offensively, and they give really good effort on the defensive end. And Coach Lofton has got something going on in Kearney. I think that the Lopers could be a team that surprises people with where they finish up this season in the MIAA. Number three, we talked about it earlier on, Washburn. I think that if there's a team outside of Northwest and Missouri Southern that has a chance to finish inside of the top two, it's going to be the Ichabods. Again, they got off to kind of a slow start this year. They weren't great in non-conference. But since conference play has started, Tyler Guymon and Jalen Lewis and Drew Mashoff have found another gear. We talk about the guard tandem at Northwest with Trevor Hudgens, Diego Bernard. I already mentioned the guys at Northeastern State with Smith and Thompson. I think that the trio of Guymon, Lewis, and Mashoff is right up there in that conversation as being some of the more effective guard play that you'll find in the MIAA. I think that Washburn's a really dangerous team. They're really well coached. We all probably kind of slept on them a little bit because when you lose a kid like Javion Blake from last year, I think that everyone expects there'd be a drop-off. But the Ichabods seem to be finding their stride right now, and they're a team that's going to be really interesting to keep an eye on. I really do think that they have a chance to finish inside of the top two. But if not, I think that they're definitely one of the top three or four teams in this league. Number two, and this is where I think we're going to have some disagreement with some people. Right now at number two, I have Missouri Southern. Listen, Missouri Southern is 6-0 in the MIAA. They are sitting alone atop the standings. It's early, but the Lions are in the driver's seat. Their wins so far are over Washburn, Nebraska Kearney, Fort Hays State, Newman, Pittsburgh State, and Central Oklahoma. They still haven't played Rogers State and Northeastern State. They still haven't played Emporia State. And most importantly, they still haven't played Northwest Missouri State. But the Lions look good. They're 13-2. Their two losses on the road at Truman State back in November and in double overtime at Texas A&M Commerce in a game where the last 2 points of that game were scored at the free throw line. The Lions, like I mentioned before, they are absolutely on a mission this year. They have the talent to accomplish all of their goals. And I think that they're good enough that if they play their game and they play well on a given night, they can beat Northwest Missouri State. But right now, I think Northwest still has a slight edge. You know, it's kind of as they say, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And right now, number one in the MIAA, that's Northwest Missouri State. They're the champs until they're not the champs anymore. They're 15-1 on the season. The one loss is the loss I alluded to earlier when I was talking about Central Missouri. It was a very, very fluky loss where Northwest just had an abysmal day shooting the ball. And it was sort of, I hate to make light of what was the biggest, you know, the biggest win of the year for Central Missouri, but it was just a very fluky kind of loss. And it's not something that I expect Northwest to do again this year. Ryan Hawkins looks like he's going to be in the running for National Player of the Year. Like Hawkins, Diego Bernard, Trevor Hudgens were all named to the Bevo Francis Award watch list, along with Cam Martin from Missouri Southern. But with the kind of season that Ryan Hawkins is having, I think he's one of those guys that you could say he's got a real, real chance to actually end up winning that award this year. He's averaging 23.5 points, 7 rebounds. He also leads the MIAA in steals. I mean, he's a guy, and he also plays almost 40 minutes a game. Like, the guy is a machine. That starting lineup for Northwest is absolutely incredible. Trevor Hudgens is only a sophomore, but he might be the best point guard in the country. Diego Bernard's an explosive athlete, and like we mentioned before, Ben McCollum can flat-out coach. I think that right now, until I see something different, Northwest Missouri State is the number one team in this league. So, to recap, number one, Northwest. Two, Southern, Washburn, Nebraska Kearney, Emporia State, Rogers State, Northeastern State, Western, Central Oklahoma, Lincoln, Pitt State, Fort Hays State, Newman, and Central Missouri, rounding out the MIAA. Those are our power rankings for this week, and that's something we probably won't do that every week, but just every 2 or 3 weeks, we'll probably revisit that and kind of reevaluate where things stand after a few more games have been played and some things have played out a little more. But that is the first one. So like I said, if you've got any disagreement or any takes you want to share, feel free to email the show at miaaweekly@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at miaaweekly. Who do you think is the best team in the MIAA right now? Is it still Northwest? Has Southern knocked them off that pedestal? And do you think that somebody besides Washburn ought to be considered for that number three spot behind them? Let me know what you guys think. Again, just shoot me a message. Let me know. I really am kind of hoping this starts a conversation. That's sort of what the idea of the show was. So moving on from that, we have now our Big Man on Campus Award. We had three nominees for the Big Man on Campus this week. The first nominee is our defending Road Warrior from the previous week, Cam Martin. Martin averaged 19 points and 11 rebounds, and Southern won two games last week by more than 30 points. The crazy thing about Cam Martin averaging 19 and 11 last week is that in both of those games, he only played 20 minutes. The second candidate is Lincoln Blue Tigers point guard Cameron Potts. Lincoln only played one game last week. It was at home against Central Missouri, but Potts filled up the stat sheet. He went 16 points, which was a team high, had six rebounds and a team high five assists to lead the Blue Tigers to their third win in the MIAA of the season. And our last candidate for Big Man on Campus, Kendrick Thompson. Thompson averaged 25.5 points per game last week, but more impressive than that, he shot 66.6% from three. He was 7 of 11 in the first game of the week and 3 of 4 in the second game. With those three nominees in mind, I had to give it to Cam Martin. Averaging 19 and 11 in 20 minutes is absolutely absurd. And the fact that on top of that, he helped lead his team to two 30-point wins, I just don't think you can really dispute that. Again, email the show at MIAAweekly@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at MIAAweekly. If you disagree, if there's somebody else who played at home that you think deserves the award, let me know if there's somebody I missed. And finally, the Road Warrior. There were two nominees for this award. Again, the Road Warrior goes to the player who was on the road who put up the most impactful performance. Our two nominees are Ryan Hawkins from Northwest Missouri State. He averaged 23.5 points, 7.5 rebounds per game, helping Northwest to a 2-0 week against Washburn and Emporia State. And the other nominee is Nebraska Kearney forward Morgan Soucy. He averaged 18.5 points and 5 rebounds as Nebraska Kearney went 2-0 in Oklahoma last week against Northeastern State and Rogers State. And our winner this week of the Road Warrior Award is Nebraska Kearney forward Morgan Soucy, for helping lead the Lopers to a 2-0 week and pushing them into third place in the MIAA at 4-2 in the league. That is going to do it for our episode this week. Once again, if you have any other topics that you'd like us to discuss, any questions, comments, or if you disagree with something I said, please, please, please send me an email, MIAAweekly@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter at MIAAweekly. That is the whole point of the podcast. I want to start a discussion, and I want you guys to be a part of that discourse. That's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of MIAA Weekly. Make sure you email the show, MIAAweekly@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter for your chance to, well, yell at me if you don't like my takes, but hopefully also shoot me some questions and maybe a virtual high five every once in a while, because I need that. Next week we'll be back in here talking basketball, as always. A lot of good matchups on this weekend to break down, including a big game in the state of Oklahoma between Rogers State and Central Oklahoma, as well as the aforementioned game up in Nebraska between Emporia State and Nebraska Kearney. So like I said, that's going to do it for the show this week. I appreciate you listening. And until next time, daps, high fives, and handshakes.